Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
We're back again this week with last week's guest, continuation with Brian Free, sitting here around our table, and a fun discussion and kind of getting to know Brian Free off the road and everyday family kind of guy and new grandfather, enjoying that stage of life as well. And our conversation around the table picks up now.
So let's talk about music. And this is a question I like to give to musicians, songwriters, and those who are, and by the way, you're getting ready to record an album, so this is probably an easy type answer for you. But if you were to stand up right now, walk out of the studio, drive to a recording studio, music studio, and record one song for the world to get as a free Starbucks iTunes download, like next week, what song, what message would that song have in it?
You're referring to one of our songs or a song in general?
Yeah, well, if you were to go out and write a song or go out and try to find, hey, I need a song for this particular week and this particular year, whatever the economy is doing, whatever politics is doing, this is what the world needs to hear.
Wow.
Tomorrow.
It's hard to narrow down to one song.
Because typically you have to plan so far in advance for the project.
Yes.
And some things change, you know, in the world during those times. But a lot of times it's a very timely album that comes out, I think.
Yeah, it is. Truly, my heart has been heavy the last, three or four or five years. And our projects reflect that, I believe, in the material. Just like this new CD that we're doing, the new project we're doing now. These songs are, we try to go with a somewhat of a theme on a project, if possible. Sometimes the material doesn't fall together to do that. But this one here is about restoration. It's about hope.
Yeah.
And I'm not referring to political hope. That word has been more out lately. I'm referring to hope in Jesus Christ, hope in our future, because it is so easy. Nowadays, without getting into a long discussion, it is easy for even Christians to get a little discouraged, to get down about the things we see around us and we hear around us, because there's a lot going on. So these songs are about hope. They are about restoration. They're about grace. And we just needed that, more than focusing on recording a song that deals with what's going on in this particular time politically or economically. I believe it's more important that we focus on the strength of ourselves spiritually. Because if we're where we need to be spiritually, and our walk is what it needs to be with the Lord, or we at least strive every day to be better in our walk with the Lord, then the things around us that take place around us, they really shouldn't matter as a Christian, because my hope's not in Washington. It's not in the Iowa caucus.
Sure.
It's not in a candidate. It's in, my hope is in the Lord. And I know that He's going to take care of me no matter what takes place in our country around us.
As you travel, you have your finger on the pulse. As we talked about, big cities and small towns alike, and you get to see reality more than the news media can paint the picture on TV, I think.
Absolutely.
So, like, for instance, the economy. Is it as bad as we hear, or is it worse, you think?
In my own personal opinion, I believe it is not as bad as what we are told every day on TV and on the radio. There are people suffering. There's a lot of people unemployed. There's a lot of good people that are going through hard times. To say anything different would be an absolute, you had to be an idiot to say that.
Yeah.
So, but what I do see, I don't see the despair, and maybe it's because we're around mostly Christian people. But I thank God for that. I thank God that we're not seeing people that are just giving up. I don't see people that are throwing their hands up and just saying, what's going to come next, for the most part. Because people are, if we are Christian, we need to realize, again, that we know who holds tomorrow. We know who holds today. So if we truly have faith in who we say we have faith in, and as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we cannot let every day's events or what we see in a poll or what we see on a Wall Street report or what the Dow is doing or what NASDAQ is doing. We don't need to let that dictate our attitude, our feelings. So I see, like, to answer your question in a couple of sentences, I see it is rough in places, some places more than others. But those are places that were already economically a little hard to begin with. But people in general are, I believe as Christian people, we realize that there's hope, and there's no reason to go to bed at night worried about what's going to take place tomorrow.
Brian Free of Brian Free and Assurance, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
I was raised on the old hymns, John 3:16, stained glass pictures of faith. A shepherd and a giant, Daniel and the lions, three Hebrew boys in the flames. A coat of many colors and walls falling down, and the Red Sea becomes
the Daniel Britt and Friends page on Facebook, tweet at Britt and Friends on Twitter, or simply visit the full site at danielbritt.com.
King Jesus, as long as I've got King King Jesus. Long as I've got King Jesus.
Long, long, long as I got
him. Don't need nobody else.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and today we're talking with Brian Free of Brian Free and Assurance online, brianfreeandassurance.com, all spelled out. Okay, so let's talk about food, because you're a gospel singer. It's got to come into play at some point. What's the most unusual or disgusting sounding food, maybe concoction, that you actually enjoy, that people are surprised? They usually turn up their nose, but you love it. It's your cup of tea.
Honestly, I would have to say sushi.
Yeah,
I love Japanese and mm-hmm. Chinese food. Mm-hmm. So I'll mention to someone that that I like sushi, and they'll kind of turn their nose up. But I mean real sushi, not yeah. California rolls. I'm talking about real sushi.
And the sashimi and all that.
Yes.
Okay, so this is interesting that we're in Atlanta, because it was here that I discovered sushi. And
really?
It was out of this building that some guy said, let's go, let's introduce you to sushi. So where were you? How were you introduced to sushi? Was it on the road somewhere?
Actually, it was on a cruise. Back in 1983, 1984,
where you didn't have to pay for it.
Exactly. So we had nothing to lose.
That's right.
And I saw it on the menu, and my wife and I were like, okay, should we try this? And we did. And honestly, we both fell in love and with the sushi. And I, matter of fact, I had it yesterday.
So nice.
I enjoy sushi.
Okay. Christmas. Are you a Scrooge, a fanatic, or just simply someone who enjoys Christmas?
I just kind of in
the middle.
I just enjoy Christmas. Yeah, I'm in the middle. As far as being a fanatic, if anything, I'm like a little kid when it comes to Christmas on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I realize we all as Christians know the reason for the season and what we're celebrating.
Sure.
So that's a given. But I'm like a little kid. I always have been. Christmas is my favorite time of year. I enjoy the time together. I enjoy the decorations. Yeah. My wife very, very much decorates our home and our yard, and I just finished yesterday getting everything back up, so it's back to. It's kind of sad when you
right,
take it all
is.
Down.
It
really is.
Is.
But she, our house is like a Christmas store.
Wow.
It really is, because down through the years we've collected so many things. People have given us so many things down through the years, and after we've been married, for nearly 3 decades, you collect a lot of things, maybe little things or big things that you use for Christmas, and some of that stuff, and the little decorations that our boys made when they were in kindergarten or in elementary school and those kind of things, the ornaments you pull out. And we spend a lot of time, Ricky, my son, oldest son, him and his wife, Kelly, and my grandson, and Bryce, my youngest son, they all came down for Christmas, were there for a number of days. So we, late at night after we play a board game or something, or if we watch a movie, we'll watch It's a Wonderful Life, or we'll watch something like that. We'll go down to the basement and we'll pull out old photos and go look for photo albums, and we maybe watch a few videos, DVDs, and things to see past. It's just reminiscent.
It's fun.
Yeah.
Real tree or artificial?
Artificial.
You do.
And now we've done both down through the years.
Yeah.
We've always, when the kids were little, we would get a real tree. We would go to a Christmas tree farm. We have one not too far from our home, maybe 10 miles from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go and let the boys pick the tree out and cut it down, and we would take it home. But since the boys are grown and gone, we've moved to artificial and do it that way.
Getting to know Brian Free of Brian Free and Assurance, and we talked a little bit about you'd rather get a root canal than go out and work on the bus. Okay, well, this is a similar kind of question.
Especially in the wintertime.
Let's say we got three jobs that are on the table that need to be done. One is an accounting spreadsheet that needs a budget that needs to be balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Another is not really a job, but it's just a set of golf clubs needing to be broken in maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And the third is a 2-page long grocery list that you need to go get these groceries.
Right.
They're in front of you, Brian. Which one would cause you the most fear or put a pit in your stomach if it was handed to you? What's the worst choice for you there?
As weird as it may sound, I like all three of those things. But yeah. I'm a golfer. That's my sport.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to play golf. I'm into numbers. When I was in school, that was my thing. Math was my favorite subject. People look at me like I'm crazy, especially my wife. She's like, math was your favorite subject? But I've always loved math. And so in the grocery list, my wife and I share the cooking duties in the house, but I probably do more of it than she does. So nice. When it comes to grocery list, I know what I want, know what I need, I know what the ingredients are. So if I had to choose one of the three that would be my least, I would have to say the grocery list, but still it doesn't stress me out.
Well, that's interesting about the numbers, because didn't you just say a few minutes ago that you and Ivan and Lefevre gave Tim Riley the job of doing the paperwork there?
We did. it was easiest since our office was there.
And
the bus was there and that kind of thing. And at that point in my life, I didn't want to do the duties of dealing with the record company stuff and the booking agency stuff each week. Because that way when I did go home, at that point I was pretty much home. So the days I was there, I was able to be there and not be focused on something else so much, quite so much. So I think that poor Tim, we dumped it off on him.
Brian Free of Brian Free and Assurance, you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Once there was a king that thought he got it right. Daniel wouldn't last until the morning light. They led him to the dungeon and they threw him in. He was on his way to supper and the meal was him. But God knew how to change their dinner plans. Never throw. Line.
was this angel's destination. He spoke of one who would be born, reign as King and Lord, overshadowed by the truth Mary knew. Everyone could question her story's validation. Mary's news did not bring joyous celebration. Even Joseph could not understand that this was heaven's land. But a manger now held the truth Mary knew. Mary knew him at his best, and she knew him at his worst. She understood the man in him, but knew that God came first. So she held her little promise, and she watched him as he
Assurance. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. We've seen it in the TV sitcoms. Unfortunately, some people may have seen it or experienced it in real life. They say, hey, I want to go to Nashville and become a singer or become a musician. And usually a parent or a teacher or a friend will say, yeah, but what are you really going to do with your life? So So here's the question to Brian. Have you ever had to defend music because you were told music wasn't lasting, serious, or meaningful in light of eternity or some even dire situations in our society? get a real job.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. I've heard that comment more than once in my lifetime, especially early on in my career.
Yeah.
Because when I graduated high school, I went to work at the Coca-Cola plant here in Marietta, just outside of Atlanta, driving a forklift and loading trucks.
Hmm.
I was trying to decide what I was going to do and which direction I was going to go. My best friend and myself, to answer this question as quickly as I can, my best friend, Rick Patero, and myself were both going into the Air Force, and we had already set up our time to go and enlist. Just to show you how God works, we were going on the Monday of a week, and I got a phone call on Friday afternoon from Floyd Beck, which was the owner and originator of Gold City, and had asked if he had heard me sing with a local group somewhere in Georgia, asked me if I was willing to come up there and audition for the group. And of course, I had no idea that gospel music on this level existed. And many people still don't. They don't realize that there's some people out there doing this full time. And because like you said, they get a real job. So I went up there, I auditioned, he offered me the job, I took it. So I left the Coca-Cola company there, and that's, you know, everything started at that point on the road. First number of years, friends and even family members, you know, well, that's good. It sounds like a good hobby. It sounds like something fun to do on the weekends, but what are you going to do to pay your bills?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've heard that many, many times.
Sure.
And, yes, the percentages, the odds of someone doing it and being able to support their families and support their lives for this many years is very much, you know, a rarity. But it's something that if God has called you to do it, then he's going to provide. If he always equips the called. He didn't always call the equipped, but he does equip the called. And that's been a blessing. So, yeah, down through the years, and I even still hear that every once in a while. You know, if someplace I'll take the bus or something to get something done to it or this kind of the other, the guys will say, you know, well, so what do you do? And I'm a professional gospel singer. I travel around and sing gospel music. You know, well, what do you do for a living when you're home? Yeah, it's like, well, that's what I do.
Yeah, right now, taking care of this bus.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is the thing I do.
Yeah. And I bet when you read the letters or you look out into the audience and you see that the music is making a difference.
Anyone that says gospel music can't make a difference or has no place, obviously has not, number one, read the Bible. Number two, has never experienced how the Holy Spirit can work through the words of a song. Because there are some gospel songs out there that are what we call dida, which say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, everybody can sing about how wonderful heaven's going to be and how the sweet by and by is going to be wonderful. And those songs have their place. But a song that, I guess what separates our music from not all Southern gospel, but from some, a good bit of it, would be that I'm not really interested in necessarily giving someone a constant picture of the sweet by and by. We want to sing a song that ministers to them now, that gives them hope now,
sure,
that touches their life now, that whatever they're going through in their life today, which, you know, we should take one day at a time. We can't think about just in the sweet by and by. I know I'm going to heaven because I know I'm born again. So that's a given. So give me a song that's going to minister to me on what I'm dealing with today. You know, what's taking place in the world around me today, and how I can be stronger as a Christian. And that's why we choose songs that are, like I say every night on stage, that are scripturally sound, that you can take every single solitary song we do. And another thing is, I know this is kind of off a little bit to the left, but or to the right, whatever. I don't mean that politically either. I just mean off the track we're talking about. We make sure that when you hear a song from Brian Free and Assurance, you don't have to wait if it's being played. And some of our stuff has been played on some more inspirational channels, or even some of our stuff on over the years on a couple of secular things, that you don't have to wait till the end of the song to find out the name of the artist to know whether it was a gospel song or not.
Right. Yeah.
I have a real issue with that.
Right.
If you have to wait and find out what the artist's name is to associate them with a particular genre, then there's something wrong. The song should stand on its own.
Yeah.
It should be a straightforward, if it doesn't talk about the Lord, it doesn't talk about the Word, it doesn't talk about the blood, it doesn't talk about things that we as Christians know is the Word of God, then what good is it?
Brian Free of Brian Free and Assurance, and you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Some place their trust in the wind. other. Some search for light in the dark. But like a child, I have come with simple faith in the only one who could change my heart.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends.
Sometimes I wonder why I need a Lord. Sometimes I have to confess. Nothing I've done could explain even one of the many. Sometimes it's hard to believe.
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends today with Brian Free of Brian Free and Assurance, our guest around the table. You've got two sons, and I think they're old enough now not to give you any kind of trouble like this, but when they were younger, was there ever a point where, as kids can do sometimes in public, they'll say something or ask a question to a stranger that comes out sounding much more between the eyes than it should, or where, in other words, you have to kind of step in there and explain what the child meant or say, we do not ask this in public.
Anyone that's ever raised a child knows that there's going to be times that that takes place. Yes. Yeah. And both of my boys are very, very headstrong.
Yeah.
They are very established in what they believe in. Mm-hmm. Which I'm very, very glad 99% of the time.
Right.
But sometimes it gets to where it's like, you know, okay, look, don't be so opinionated. But I can be that way myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to be very careful. Because if we as Christians alienate ourselves, and there are some denominations out there that do that mm-hmm. alienate themselves from the general population and really can't be a witness to somebody and can't mm-hmm. lead somebody to the Lord because they're so opinionated
that
they're just so dogmatic that it's like, okay, if you're either part of this particular denomination and they're the only ones going to heaven and everyone else is going to go to hell. I mean, mm-hmm. that's where you got to be very careful. So,
Right. Yes,
my boys have asked questions and, Lord have mercy when they were small or said something or, absolutely, that I was like, okay, no, yeah, that's not, you know, you don't ask someone like that. And Ricky was a grown-up from the time he was, because there's 8 years distance between the ages of my two boys. So Ricky was an only child, and he was around nothing but adults mm-hmm. his whole life, all the years as a child. And, he would think he was an eight-year-old, 30-year-old.
Yeah, right.
So, he would involve himself in conversations. It's like, you know, son, get somewhere. You don't need to be involved in this conversation. It's not for an eight-year-old.
Yeah, right.
So, yes.
You ever seen the show Dirtiest Jobs?
Yes.
Where he goes and gets his hands dirty.
Absolutely. And Mike Rowe is one of our favorite. I love his voice. I love his acting, or what I would say acting, but
yeah,
the hosting. Way he acts. Yeah, hosting.
Okay, so if he were to come to your house and say, take me back in time to the dirtiest job you've ever had to do. I mean, it probably wouldn't compare to what some of the stuff he's gotten involved in, but what would it be? I mean,
my father-in-law, my wife's father, Richard, was an industrial roofer. Which industrial roofing is the hot tar stuff. We're not talking about laying shingles.
Yeah.
We're talking about the serious stuff.
Yeah.
And Mike has, on Dirtiest Jobs, he has done that before. Mm-hmm. I've seen him do that. That is probably I won't say dirtiest, but it's dirty. It's pretty messy and it's very hot. So I used to work with him, Pam's dad, during the summertime. And when I was just a teenager. And so that was probably the hardest job I've ever had in my life and probably the messiest because, mm-hmm. I mean, there were times in the summertime we'd be on down here on Fulton Industrial doing a building that we're, it was 98 or 100 degrees outside.
Oh, yeah.
You're on a roof and you're mopping out hot tar, which is 150, 180 degrees. And there were times we kept a fire extinguisher. We had to all the time in the summertime.
Yeah.
At least one on the roof. Because there were times that your boots would actually catch on fire. They would ignite because you're walking around in that and you have to put your shoes out. So, yeah, that was probably the dirtiest, roughest job I ever had. And needless to say, I learned very, very early that I did not want to do that for the rest of my life.
The angels were assembled before the throne, singing songs of worship to the Lord alone, as they cried, "Holy, holy, the heavens filled with glory." But they had to step aside when they heard a song rise. It made the Father smile to see his child step forth and start to sing. Mortal tongue can sing. Redeemed.
meaningful dialogue, engaging music, and the laughter of the redeemed. This is Daniel Britton, friends.
It's not cathedrals, it's not steeples, it's not crosses made of gold, it's not just sentimental stories that have been passed down from old, it's not religion or tradition that can save the souls of men. It took the sinless blood of one holy lamb.
It's all about the blood. It's all about Calvary.
It's all about
mercy flowing down an old rugged tree. It's all about praise. It's all about a sacrifice. God's love is all about the blood of Jesus Christ.
It's the scarlet thread that ties the beginning.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, and today we're talking with Brian Free of Brian Free and Assurance online, brianfreeandassurance.com, all spelled out. Gospel music fans a lot of times are stereotyped as living in the past maybe too much, wanting to go back to old traditions, and I think there's something good with the old traditions. And so without going extreme either way on this, here's the one of the last questions we have. What do you miss most about church worship service that no longer happens quite the same way? And maybe they have their reasons for doing it different nowadays, but for whatever reason, they don't do it the way you grew up in church doing it.
Well, and this answer will probably sound a little opinionated, yeah. But you're asking for my opinion, so yeah, I'm going to give it to you. I believe that I am a very much core issue type person. So I love some of the newer music, but it gets back to, like I said earlier, but it has to have substance. There are, I believe, there's been a movement in for a number of, well, at least last decade or two within the church, that there are some songs, because we're talking about music, there are some songs that I believe are, you know what, I'm just going to say it like I feel it. I believe that some of those songs sound like they were written by a seven-year-old that really don't say anything. They're repetitious. They're not all the songs that are put on the screen at a church are that way. I'm not saying that. But there are some songs that I believe are 4 minutes wasted. That we could be singing a song, and I don't want to sound like a traditionalist, but yet I am to a certain degree, only in the respect that the core has to be there. And if some of those songs, you just, I don't know. I mean, I sit back and I go, you know, can we not just sing something with some substance to it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a downer. I'm not saying that. It doesn't have to be something that's, that just is so deep that just makes you want to, you know, be sit there and be all quiet. A good praise song. But praise songs, you have to be careful, because you can get, to me, for me, I know in my life that when a church, I've seen churches go all praise music and never pull out a traditional song. And 99% of the time, and you're seeing that a lot now because the sales and the, everything of that has dive bombed, because people want the real stuff. They want something that's going to minister to them. They want something with some depth, with some substance that they can leave with.
Right.
And so I guess that would be one of my pet peeves also. If you can't write a song that truly says something, or they can lead someone into worship, which is what you're doing with music, and setting up, you know, in church service, the music part is setting up the sermon. We need to get Christians in the frame of mind to where they'll absorb what's being preached when the pastor gets up there. And that's the whole purpose of the music. It's not to take the place of the preached word of God. It's to add, it's just to be an addition. It's to be, to set it up. So if the songs that you get up there and do are that way, or not that way as far as setting the sermon up, then I think it's a waste of time. So that, yeah, that's one of those things. I just, music has to be real, and it has to be something that will last. Think about it. We can talk, whether you like or you don't like some of the old hymns, how many years have they been around?
Yeah.
That says something. There's a reason, because we love them. We go back. We come back to them. We may drift away and go to something a little more progressive or something newer, but we always come back to the core. And at least we should. And that's where it is, because it would be like leaving the core of the gospel of the Word of God and going to something more progressive. You know, you start heading toward the edge of the world. You start moving toward the world. What's going to take place? It's a no brainer to me.
So, Brian Free, as you enter 2012, if you're like what Dave Ramsey teaches about, well, not just money, but about leadership and planning, it's to have goals as you enter a new year, a new month. So, obviously, you've got a new project that's coming up this year.
Yes.
Looking forward to traveling to some familiar roads, I'm sure, some annual dates that you do. But what's your 2012 look like as far as what you hope to accomplish?
Well, 2012, the new project, which I believe, and it's very hard to... Never Walk Alone is a great project.
Yeah.
It really is. And with each project, we try to get better on the next one. And it's hard to do sometimes, because that's why I go through so many songs, because it's going to be hard to beat Never Walk Alone. But I believe this new one will be equal or better in the song material. So our new project, as far as the ministry is concerned, we just want to be more focused. I want to be more into the tech side as far as reaching our fan base, whether it be email newsletter, which, by the way, you can go to our website and sign up on that. That will come out every month. We've kind of been more of a Facebook posting type thing this last year or so. And that has its place. And we still have our Facebook page. It's also Brian Free and Assurance. You can go to that. And I'll do that. But I'm going to make that more of just the little things that are taking place on the road. You know, just something, some quick, you know, post.
Sure.
Where I have, in the last year or so, almost made it a mini newsletter. But our newsletter is going back up the first year. So things like that, making sure we contact our people and that we let them know what's going on in our ministry, where we're going to be, what's taking place, what God's doing, how many people are saved during that time period. Because to me, when I leave, you know, sometimes you go a whole weekend, and this is every group on the road, if they say any different, they're lying through their teeth. Because there are some weeks that we just, someone may not get saved that we know about, and they may get later.
Right.
You know, they may come see us Saturday night and have a wonderful service. And then that Sunday morning, they'll go down to their pastor from something they heard that night at a song or something. Yeah. And, you know, conviction of the Holy Spirit has led them to the altar. But I want to see more people saved, because that's what really lasts. after these CDs, our history and everything here on this earth is passed away. The only thing we really do for the kingdom of God that matters is how many people we lead to Jesus Christ. And that's bottom line. And that's what I want to see in 2012. Not worried about the Mayan calendar. Good Lord have mercy. I'm so sick of hearing that stuff. Not a group of 3-foot-tall Indians had the answer.
Right.
And we are not going to, you know, this world will end when God decides that it takes place.
Yep.
So 2012 is going to be a wonderful year, I believe, for us Christians, if we allow it to be, for all of us. And we don't need to focus on everything that's going on around us. Do what we know is right as Christians. Make the right decisions. We have a huge election coming up this year in 2012. Mm. Make the right decision. I'm not telling anybody how to vote one way or the other. It's none of my business. You vote your conscience. If you can sleep at night, then fine. Yeah. Choose whoever you want to choose. But make sure that we do everything we can do here in these last days. And that's what this ministry is going to do in 2012.
BrianFreeAndAssurance.com. It's all spelled out and all together there. And Facebook and all the places to stay in touch with them. You obviously want to and to keep track of the new project that's coming out real soon. Brian, thanks for braving the traffic this afternoon to be with us.
No problem. Thank you, Danny. Thanks.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends, each week Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.